Welcome back to Dialed In on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Welcome to Trevor Bain grabbing a wrench. As we lead into the 2018 season, what, have you moved to Knoxville?
I have. So we did not see that coming, actually. I was down at the Homestead test before the last race of the year, and I felt like the Lord was kind of leading us to move home and obviously still keep doing all the things with racing and be at the shop every week. And I didn't really know how that looked, and I was like, I don't know if I'm hearing this right. So we just decided to go out on faith to put our house in the market, and before it ever went on the market, it sold, and land came up for sale, and it worked out perfect. So we spent most of our off season moving home, so it wasn't much of an off season at first, but now we're starting to really enjoy it.
So how does your schedule look when you live in Knoxville? Like, how have you figured it out? And you got kids, too.
Yes, and that's the big part of it. Having two kids under two and being able to be near our families, both mine and Ashton's parents live in Knoxville, and so it's really nice to be around family. And, you know, as our kids get older, we just want them to have that and to be able to have some land to play on and do those kind of things. I think it'd be great for them. But, you know, Carl Edwards was one of my really good friends, or is one of my really good friends, and I watched him kind of do that and had a lot of balance in life. And, you know, I've seen Jimmy Johnson do that with moving to Colorado for part of the season, and you know, even I believe Chase Elliott still lives at home in Georgia, and talking to him, I started kind of looking at getting my pilot's license. You know, Carl and Chase and those guys have done that, and so last year about halfway through the season I started flying some and getting some hours and flying back and forth to the shop. We actually had Levi in Knoxville last summer, so I kind of got some practice of what that would look like if we were to live in Knoxville. And really, you know, Knoxville's not that far from Charlotte. I drove in last night. It's, you know, 3.5 hours or so. So it's not bad. If the weather's bad and I can't fly, I can always drive to the meeting. But one day a week, I'll be in Charlotte still. So kind of like I live here.
Have a co-pilot, or do you fly like Carl by himself?
I'm probably not going to fly by myself. Not that I don't trust myself, but, you know, that flight from Knoxville to Charlotte, there's a lot of mountains. There's a lot of stuff that you can get yourself into. And so just experience. You can't buy that or get that quickly. And so I'll definitely have someone flying with me. Ironically enough, the pilot that's been helping me is he's the son of the guy we bought my first go-kart from. And so when I started racing at 5 years old, his family is the one that that took me racing in their trailer. And so for him to be teaching me how to fly, it's really crazy.
So do you feel like you have changed as you lead into the 2018 season because, you know, you've grown up or you have a different approach? I saw it maybe a year ago. You started really having a harder edge, you know, still being a really... you know, Christian, nice guy, but just sort of, I don't want to say more determined. You were always determined.
Yeah, I just wanted to put in the work. You know, I've always done that, and I passively kind of did that in the past. And last season was kind of the turning point where I said, if there's something I can do to be better as a race car driver and not just always asking for faster race cars, what can I do to bring more to the race team? What can I do to better myself during the week? Obviously, we can't go to the racetrack and practice or test. So what areas can I work on to be better? And sometimes, honestly, probably overthought that and worked in areas that I didn't even need to be working in. And that kind of can wear you down. So I'm trying to get a better balance on that this year. That's probably the difference. Seeing what things last year were beneficial that I did and what things were just kind of, I was doing them to be doing them. And, you know, I think we finished strong last year as far as making sure we were doing the things that mattered to the end of the season. A lot of times you get halfway through the year and you're burned out and you're just tired of working out. You're tired of doing notes. You're tired of those things. But last year, I feel like we finished pretty strong and all my guys did that. And so, you know, that's something I've learned. And honestly, I just feel like I'm growing up a little bit. I'm not the 19-year-old kid running around just, you know, I still want to be smiling at everybody. But, you know, I'm a little more serious and a little bit more of, you know, hey, this is my job as well. It's not just something I enjoy. And I want to bring something to the table for my race team.
Do you ever feel like you were like Mr. Nice Guy? And you can't, you know, you were actually in a profession where, I mean, all the drivers are nice, but a lot of them are like, no more Mr. Nice Guy on the track.
Is this because I'm wearing a black suit this year? Is
Yeah.
am I looking like Dale Earnhardt here in my black and red?
Is funny that you would say that, because when I looked at your new car with the black
right.
Advocare on it, I thought, wow, that's kind of different than the white, You always associate Trevor Bayne with the white hat, right?
I guess so. But, you know, for me, I still want to be the same person. I do this for multiple reasons. But for me, it's to impact people and have great relationships with people. And so I still want to do that. It's not going to be all about Trevor and, you know, all about that. It never will be. But for me, I mean, I do take this very serious. And I think sometimes that's probably misinterpreted by me smiling and running around and joking with people. But, you know, this is serious business, and it's something I want to do well at. I want to win races and contend and be taken serious. And, you know, I think I've kind of shown that the last couple of years, and I definitely plan on doing that this season.
I never really associate you with, like, getting mad or drawing the line.
Oh, I do. It's just in private. You know, you have a choice to hit the button on the steering wheel or not, and some people don't realize that. But you do have a choice of when and where you're going to be frustrated. And, you know, I always want to handle myself the right way. And there are times I go back to the motorhome and I'm mad, and, you know, I have to vent to Ashton or my business manager, Brent, or whoever's around. And, you know, so there is that side for sure. It's definitely not the all that you see on Instagram or on whatever of everybody smiling all the time. There are serious things, and there are times you get frustrated for sure. I mean, it's a long season. It'd be impossible not to get frustrated, and especially when your performance isn't where you want it to be. And I think anybody in racing could say their performance isn't where they want it to be. Unless you win every single race of the year, your performance isn't where you wanted it to be. So, you know, you're going to get frustrated, but you got to handle it the right way.
Do you kind of chuckle when you see the black car and the black uniform?
No, I really like it. You know, I mean, I drove for Dell Senior's company back in, gosh, I guess 2008. And, you know, I had the black car, and it kind of looked like Martin Truex's cup car at the time with the one on it. And so I've got some black car experience. And last year, even the Roush Performance car and the Performance Plus motor oil, those paint schemes look great. And we ran well with them. And I thought it was cool stuff. So I'm excited about this year with the black.
What can you tell the fans about the Daytona 500, which you have won? And you're asked about it a lot, but how can you dig deeper and kind of put into words what that race is all about?
Man, that race can really just put you on it can dictate the rest of your season, really. I mean, you look at Kurt Busch last year. He won the first race of the year and didn't have a great season for part of those 26 races leading up to the chase, and that kind of carried him through the year and gave them something to keep digging for, knowing that they were in the chase all year long. So the implications of just winning the Daytona 500, if there was no chase involved, the Daytona 500 is huge. But when you throw in the fact that it can change the course of your whole season leading up to the chase, that's a really big deal. You can go to work. You can, you know, try different things. You can make mistakes by digging too deep and trying too hard. And you know, obviously you don't want to do that, but you can. And it gives you that cushion to know that you're more than likely in for the rest of the year. And just what that does for the mentality of the guys and what it does for them to be able to keep fighting all year long, knowing that the chase is coming. That's a huge deal. So that's just a bonus on top of what the Daytona 500 already is, which is unbelievable. And man, it's been 7 years now since I won, which is crazy to think. But you know, I still can remember what winning that race is like.
You think it changed your career?
I do think it changed my career, and you know, mostly for the good. Then you know, I definitely think it created a lot of opportunity. And you know, I have to remind myself a lot to be thankful for the opportunity that I have right now. As I said before, we always want more performance. We always want better race cars. We always want to win races. But man, I'm so thankful for what Advocare and Roush Fenway have done for me for the last few years, and I'm looking forward to what we can do together.
Your MS, you've never really talked much more about it. We've never heard about it. It seems like you really have it under control.
You know, we really honestly don't know what it was. I look back through stuff, and we still don't know what the diagnosis should be or what it was. But I'm really fortunate in that my health and God has sustained it. And I mean, I train hard, and I go on these bike rides, and I push, and I get hot in the race car. And I, fortunately, I've had zero symptoms in 7 years now. And so I'm just so thankful for that. And the fact that I get to do what I love and don't even have to think about it, honestly, except when I get asked about it, it slips my mind sometimes. So I think it's just one of those things where God was making me dependent on Him, and it's just, here we are, you know.
What's it like to strap in for the Daytona 500? Like, can you put into words, when there's so much attention around it, Like, even when I think about it, I'm out there on the grid, my heart already starts to beat.
Well, you know, when you go to Daytona, you've had 2 months to sit and think about your next race. And there's all this just emotion built up into leading into the race season and all the talk and talking about what you're going to do this year. And that's the first time you actually get to go out and show what your team can do and see what your cars are going to have in them. You know, Daytona is a totally different race in that you have the duels leading up and you get a little bit of practice and you have, you know, the unlimited that is before that. So some people get some more practice, but then you go into the 500 and man, it's just like all this emotion of the off season is built up to this point. And, you know, anything can happen there. You're not guaranteed that if you have the fastest car, you're going to win the Daytona 500, or if you make the best decisions, you're going to win. There are so many components that go to it. And that's what makes it so nerve wracking. It's not like Atlanta is our first race where normally the fastest car and somebody that's disciplined to the line that they're going to run and saves their tires, they have a really good shot at winning. Daytona, none of that matters. You have to have help. You have to have people that are willing to work with you. You have to have great pit stops. You can't make mistakes. You got to have a fast car, and everything has to come together.
We look at Danica Patrick getting a ride with Premier Motorsports. We know, you know, what her experience is and whatnot. Could she win the Daytona 500 in that car?
Really, anybody can. I mean, if you're one of the 40 in the field, with the crashes that happen, with the things that go on during the race, it definitely is possible for anyone to win that race. Is it more difficult for someone that's not in a elite team, a top 15 team? Yes, it is more difficult, because when you pull out of the draft to make that winning pass, if you don't have 10 cars behind you, you're not going to go to the front by yourself. Whereas you might watch like Ricky last year in our Roush Fenway cars, the races that he won at the end, he had one of the best cars, and through the attrition of some of the other cars being taken out, when it got down to somebody having to make a move for the win, he had a fast enough car to pull out a line and to make that pass. And so that's the difficult part if you're not in a elite car, but for certain, every team has a shot at Daytona.
Great interview. Always appreciate the time I get to hang out and chat with you, and I wish you good luck as we roll into the start of the 2018 season in the Daytona 500 in that black Advocare car. Thanks for hanging out on Jack's Garage.
Thank you, Claire.